in the reproof, instruction sometimes, although it may become strong, is not to destroy us, but is to help us. And correction may not come particularly because you've maybe done something wrong, but just something to kind of make you better. Praise God. Somebody else might have done something wrong, but you'll still benefit by it. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine or your horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Amen. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for something that's powerful and anointed and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, we know there's nothing hidden from you. Praise God. All things are naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God, we're here before you tonight. We just thank you, Lord, for just an open heart and open ears to hear the word. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word tonight. Praise the Lord. We can learn if we want to learn. We can be led of God if we want to be led of God. Praise God. We can serve the Lord if we want to serve the Lord. Amen. For as it was sung tonight, promises in him, all the promises of God are yea or yes, and they are amen. Amen. There's no turning with God. There's no double-mindedness with God. Amen. He is just God and he's always going to be God. He's light and in him is no darkness at all. The same as saying God is holy and he's not unholy. There's no unholiness in him. He's God today. He'll be God tomorrow. Praise God. He has no bad days. Amen. But there was a man here we're reading about tonight who had a bad day. In fact, he had many of them because he chose them. Saul, real quick, was a man who in the beginning was little in his own sight, although physically he was head and shoulders above the rest. Praise God. And because he was low in his own sight, you could say that that term was birth, that you know these particular persons or person is just head and shoulders above the rest. You know, we've adopted that saying. And what makes you stand out to God is the fact that you can be what God is looking for. You have that humility, that willingness, that I don't trust in myself, my own strength. There's no pride. There's just a dependency upon God. And God saw something in Saul. That's why he chose him and made him king. But after a certain amount of time, some things happened in the life of Saul, some various rejecting of the word of God that made Saul not the Saul that was the original Saul. A lot happens when people get into a position, when someone gets a title. See, he was no longer just Saul, the one that they had to go search amongst the people and pull him out to make him king. Because he wasn't jumping up there on the pedestal saying, "All right, I'll be king." They had to go find him. The Lord said, "Go search for Saul. Go pull him out. Never leave your humility. Don't ever leave it. I don't care what title God gives you, what position he asks you to fulfill. Please, don't leave what you were when God first found you. Because that's why he chose you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a two-part message tonight, and it's not going to be too long. It's not going to be too short. I'll try to make it just right to try to give some instruction tonight for you and for myself, because there are some things to be understood here that are very, very important for all of us. We need a mind change. We need to graduate. And we need to put from us any traditions that would keep us looking towards things that are earthy. And you'll see what I mean in a few minutes. So the Lord asked Samuel a question, because Samuel was mourning for Saul. He was mourning and praying, no doubt. Mourning for Saul, because he was the one. And when you know that God led you and you know God used you and he was involved in seeing Saul become the king, there was just something obviously in Samuel, like us, that was just heartbroken. And finally, the Lord just obviously was listening and listening and listening. And then he said, "How long are you going to keep doing this?" He may sound, you know, that sounds pretty tough to say. Well, he's God, he can say what he wants. We're his people, right? Have you ever showed up in prayer and God just said, before you start, change your appearance a little. Before you just start calling on me, why are you thinking about all this stuff? You never had that experience? Well, I guess don't. Hallelujah. But if you have a lot in your mind, you just might find the Lord asking you a question before you get started. And he asked him, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? And while I was reading this verse, I was thinking of something else along these lines, which we're going to share for a few minutes tonight. But the Lord, I felt like, highlighted something to me that I'd never looked at before, never even thought about. It was like when I read the verse, it just got highlighted. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. The Lord never rejected him from being a Jew. He never rejected him from following and doing the service of the law, as a good Jew would. He never said, you can't serve me, you can't get your act together. He never said any of that. He said, now I know the situation with Saul was much serious than that with himself, but he said, I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Think about that for a minute tonight. There are a lot of people that might be in a position and they fail. Whether they fail because they turned out to be rotten or they were in a position that they could not handle because they did not have what it was going to take in order to handle that position. Some people in church work jump into a position that they're all excited about but don't have what it takes to fulfill the position. And some people tonight just need to hear this word. Everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Maybe you're not fit for the position, but God loves you. Praise the Lord. Maybe you have to step down and eat your pride and realize that, you know, I am not material for this particular position. Praise God. If that happens, don't fall away. Don't become so discouraged you can't pray anymore. God loves you. You can make it. He didn't say you could never be a Christian again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now this might go over better in places where there are lots of positions. We don't have a whole lot of that. We know better. Not particularly because there's not a need for various positions per se, but our mentality is we're not hung up on having to be something. We know our highest position is being a child of God. Hallelujah. And if we do something while we're that child, so be it. But it's the Lord's. We've been taught good. We ought to be thankful for that tonight. Hallelujah. Yeah, we don't have a wart in our brain feeling like that we have to have a title, like I have to be called something. I don't need a title to precede me. If righteousness doesn't precede me, then I'm nothing anyway. Praise God. But some people don't have this understanding, and titles and positions mean a lot to some people. But maybe just along this line, and we're going to go 180 degrees from this in a minute, but maybe somebody just needs to hear the fact that because you're a John Mark, let's say, Book of Acts, and you can't handle the heat, and you have to go home, it doesn't mean that you're a failure. Because you launched out and maybe tried to pastor a church, you tried to do something for God, and you failed, at least in your own eyes, it became too hot to handle for you. You didn't quite have the strength, or maybe right now you're not ready. Amen. Tuck your tail in and go home and give God the glory. It's better to give God the glory than to stay if you can't handle it, because you only hurt yourself even further. Amen. There are some people that need to realize that when they're not fit for the position, they need to get out. Some stay and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And there are others involved that they're not thinking enough to set you down. They're afraid they'll hurt your feelings, so they leave you there. I experienced this in a particular restaurant that once in a while we go to pick up some ice cream. And this person has been there for months and months and months. My first impression of this individual was, number one, they shouldn't be where they are. If they should be, they're not. Somebody should be there with them to train them and wean them until they're able to be on their own so that they can handle the pressure. So that they know how to run registers and do all the stuff that they need to do and handle what they feel coming from the customers. you know, the aggravated looks, the impatient looks, that this is supposed to be like, you know, 2-minute drive through, and it's not. Some people can't handle that. So I thought, all right, this is my first impression of this person. Things will probably get better. And it was months and months and months. I went back, and the same individual was there. And when you see these individuals, because of past experience, you start cringing inside. You start realizing this is going to be a long night. Do I really want to be here? Maybe I should just turn around and go home. I'll be happy with spring water. But I stayed because I got this other impression. I was like, wow, they're doing pretty good. Maybe they've kind of overcome some stuff and maybe they can handle it. And sure enough, not 30 seconds after I stood there and made the order, they fell apart. And I thought, oh no. And sure enough, I was waiting. And I waited. And then something else got goofed up. Something else got goofed up. And then a manager came over and yelled at them and they left. And that's no way to do it. You know, if you're in a position, you realize somebody can't handle the heat, get them out of there. You have no right to yell at them and leave them there. You know, step up to your position and put somebody there that has the mentality to do the job. That can handle the pressure coming in and that going out. And get somebody out of there that doesn't belong on the front line of things. Look, King David had somebody killed that did not belong on the front line of battle. He was a backline battle guy. But he was good because he came home from battle. That means he stayed alive. But when he was put on that front line, he got killed. There are some people that need to be where they are and others that don't need to be where they are. And it's unfortunate in church work that some, just because of zeal, and you get these people, I could do that, I could do that, I could do that, I could do that. Oh, I'll do it for you, I'll do it for you. And when they get there, they don't do anything. You know, I'll go all out, pastor, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. And when they get there, nothing happens. The same thing is still left undone week after week after week. Do not volunteer if you plan on doing nothing. Praise God. But God still loves you. All right, let's go off of that now and go 180 degrees. Praise the Lord. But some just need to understand because I've never been through it myself. I've heard a lot of stories and I just try to listen and learn from those stories so that I didn't get gung-ho myself and feel like I could just go off and do my own thing and come back hurt. Praise God. But do want to say to those who have done it, who will hear this, and you're still living for God, everything's going to be all right. Praise God. It's going to be all right. Amen. It doesn't matter what anyone else, if you're going back to a congregation, they ought to be Holy Ghost filled enough, loving God enough to accept you, say, come on back home, everything's going to be all right. You ought to be met with healing, praise God, and love, and peace, and an acceptance. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the way the church works. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because anyone who tries, trying is a good thing. But if if something goes wrong, praise God, everything's going to be all right. If you get rejected from a position, it doesn't mean you're rejected from the kingdom. Hallelujah. All right, now we're going to talk about 180 degrees from here. Praise God. And that's the first part of this verse. How long will you mourn for Saul? Now we want to talk about praying for people that have left the church. We are such a compassionate people. We are such a loving people. We pray for everybody. We want everybody to be saved. We want everyone to serve God. And we hate it when we can count name after name after name of people who have spit in God's face. That's exactly what they've done. And it's amazing how many times we fill our prayer rooms with, oh God, remember brother so-and-so. That they'll come back to church and serve you and know how good your grace is. And remember sister so-and-so. And I wonder how much of that God's really listening to. I'm going to say a few things here tonight that should be no surprise to this group. But nevertheless, by the Word of God, they're true. In our prayer life, we need to graduate a little bit. We need to go beyond wasting our prayer room filled with words that are going on deaf ears. God rejected Saul because Saul rejected God. Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you. Matthew 10 and 33. Read it for yourself. Praise God. If we reject the Lord, He will reject us. And yet, in our prayer room, sometimes we're praying, and I don't think we really realize what we're praying. But maybe tonight, we'll just insert a few words, and we'll listen to what we're actually saying in the ears of God. We pray and we say, Lord, remember the one that hates you right now. God, remember the one that spit in your face right now. God, remember the one that caused a lot of pain and grief and suffering for the ministry and for the church. God, we pray for those who hate their brothers and sisters. We pray for those who have trampled underfoot the blood of the Son of God and count it an unholy thing. God, we're asking You to remember those that, Lord, are antichrist tonight. Those who have gone out from us because they are not of us. Remember them tonight. That's what we do. And God's saying, how long are you going to mourn for these people? Did you know God would rather see you do this in prayer? He'd rather see a child of God pray for no backslider. He'd rather have a child of God go to prayer with a horn of oil and say, Lord, where's the next person that has never tasted of Your goodness? God, show me where the wheat is. Show me where the profitability is. Show me where that which wants to serve You lies. I will not pray for chaff anymore. Hallelujah. Yeah, that sounds a little tough to people who are used to calling on God because we love everybody. But you need to understand where God Himself even draws a line. Last at their calamity, according to the Word of God, and yet we pray for them. Hey, look, we might weaken ourselves if we keep praying for defeated things. Some things cannot live again. Hebrews chapter 10, it teaches us, how shall they who have crucified to themselves afresh the Son of God be renewed again to repentance? So why are we praying for something that's dead to God, purposely dead to God, that cannot be renewed again? Why are we praying for those things? All right, let me read a few verses and we'll explain a few things more, and then I'll be done. I know it may sound a little cruel, you may be sound, but Brother Joe, you don't understand. That's my mama you're talking about. That's my father. That's my daughter. That's my son. That's my sister. That's my brother. I'm going to pray for these people. Go right ahead. Waste your prayer time. Waste your prayer time praying on deaf ears. The deaf ears are God. He's looking at you growing enough to realize that they have chosen their own destiny. We're not hating anybody. We're not spewing out of our spirit hatred towards anyone, but there comes a time when we must detach. Hallelujah! There comes a time when we've got to let them go. It's the only hope. They've got to hit bottom without our help. Amen. All right. Let's see how the Lord... Let's pull a few verses that we don't normally think about along this subject. Isaiah 55 and verse 2 says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Listen to this tonight. Very interesting. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. I cannot delight myself, neither can you, in the goodness of the Lord when we are minding earthly things. Doesn't the Scripture teach us not to mind earthly things? And that which has departed from God is earthly. Praise God. Why are we going to labor in our prayers for something that does not satisfy God, yourself, and it's not benefiting anyone that has turned aside from the truth? Praise God. It's a tough thing. Samuel had a hard time with this. But God spoke to him and said, look, why are you mourning for what I have rejected? Praise God. There is a mighty work of God all about you and about God's church. And what we need to do is we need to spend our time looking on the fields. Hallelujah. You know why the laborers are few? Because I think that maybe there are too many still in the prayer room praying for those who have walked away instead of those who are coming in. Amen. John 6:27, Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Watch this now. Labor not for the meat that perishes. Praise God. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Meat, doing the will of God or not, depending on which verse in its context. Praise God. Amen. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Why would we labor for the meat that's perishing, that's not doing the will of God? Amen. Why is our meat to pray for that meat which is going to perish, which once did the will of God? Maybe we need to graduate in our prayer life from being mindful of defeated things to things that are ready to be born. Amen. Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. See, lift up your eyes. When we're constantly being pulled down by whatever attachment we have because of our compassion, when we are being pulled down to look at things that are walking away, we are not lifting up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, look on the fields. Look on the fields. Yeah, but my lost loved one, they walked away from God. They need to serve God. But God, you just don't understand. And he's saying, look on the fields. Look on the fields. Look on the fields. You might have to say it one more time before you finally get it. Look on the fields and stop looking on the chaff. Praise God. When we harvest things, we harvest wheat into the kingdom. The chaff is driven away by the wind. Get your mind off of chaff. Get it on the wheat. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Get it on those who are coming in. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Praise God. Amen. All right. In closing tonight, hallelujah. What would you rather see? Prayers for the disobedient, scoffers, mockers, evil speakers, tramplers of the blood of Christ, antichrists. Amen. Or would you rather see prayer rooms filled with people who have shaken the dust off their feet and have their horns filled with oil? If you were God, what would you rather see? Hallelujah. What would you rather see? There's an expectation and a readiness that is in the people of God when they go to prayer ready to anoint. That's revival. Amen. That's when some things can happen. That's when we ourselves as people of God go beyond having our hearts and our minds attached to things that just aren't working. Leave it in God's hand. He's the great shepherd. Doesn't the scripture say that he's the one that goes out and searches for the sheep? Does it say anything about the sheep going after sheep? Look, I tried it once. It doesn't work. You cannot do it. I don't care how spiritual you think you are, how close to God you are. When people are 180 degrees away from God, you can be as close to God as you're going to be. You're not going to change them. I don't care if they're preachers, singers, songwriters, musicians. I don't care who they were, how long they've been in church. When they turn aside, you're wasting your time to go after them. And you might just hurt yourself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Scripture teaches us that in Matthew 22, there were people destroyed by a king because he bid some people to come to the wedding feast of his son. He went out, had his servants destroy them all. You know why? Verse 8 says, they were not worthy. So go out to where the fields are white and go find some people who are. Hallelujah. Our mindset needs to change. I say ours being in general. If our minds are constantly attached to defeated things, let's stand. How do people deny the Lord? They deny Him in works. Hallelujah. They deny that they know Him by what they do. Not by what they say. Amen. Tonight, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're walking with God, it's going to be all right. You had some ups and downs. It's okay. Things are going to get better. Strengthening tools. That's all they are. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Change your prayer life. Put it in victory. Put it in overdrive. Hallelujah. Take the emergency brake off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stop waiting for others to catch up. Go forward. Praise God. Go forward. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we praise you tonight. We praise you tonight for your sweet, sweet victory. We praise you tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Brother Rutledge. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Beautiful message, Brother Joe, and I can tell you now, somebody out there is going to say, that's the most horrible message I've ever heard in my life. I've preached that ever since I've been a preacher, but every time I come across it, I always get complaints. Well, aren't we supposed to pray for everybody? But that's a lack of understanding. Yes, pray for everybody, but don't. What Brother Joe's saying is what Jesus says in the Word of God. It's real consistent with the Word of God. When somebody has served God and rejected God, we're instructing the Word of God, put them in God's hand and move on. They can get it worked out with God. God's mercy endureth forever. But God does not want us to tie all of ourselves, all of our time up, wasting it, as the message so eloquently was put, wasting our time on the impossible. We cannot rescue what God has rejected. No matter how physical we are, no matter how much we're there for Him, no matter how much we love, we can be there. But God has greater things for us to do, and He's going to do the work that's necessary there. As soon as that person, as Brother Joe mentioned, hits bottom, then God may have something He can work with. Hallelujah. What we do, we stop them from hitting bottom by trying to cushion the fall. Oh, I'm here for you. Our church is praying for you. Look, we know we all make mistakes. We know that we have these problems. We know everybody has this. Oh, I've been through it too. And I know, hey, let's go out and eat. Let's talk about it. You can pour your heart out to me. Oh, and look, all that time could be spent. Well, God, what would you have me do? That person has taken so much of my time and the field is white. There's so much to do. What do you want me to do? Well, there's a brother over here that wants to serve God. Go that way. And you leave that in my hands, and I'll take care of him. When he wants me, I'll be there. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, I'd like to preach on that too.